AccuWeather forecast, cloudy, breezy, rain changing over to snow. Could see accumulation by this evening. Temperatures falling slowly through the 30s. City of Racine is going to be getting a new administrator in the next month or so as Tom Friedel gets ready to retire. Now comes word of the three finalists being considered by a selection team and is required to be released under Wisconsin's open records law, the top five finalists for a public office job. The three are Bloomington, Illinois City Manager David Hales, James Palahniuk, the Director of Economic and Business Development for Fayetteville, North Carolina, and Aretha Adams, former Assistant City Manager in Lancaster, Texas. When the recommendation for the next administrator goes to the council, unknown at this point. The declaration of the Riverside Inn at Northwestern Avenue and the dam on the northwest side of Racine as a chronic nuisance property, well, that has been reversed now by the Public Safety and Licensing Committee. The reason? Language to allow it does not exist in the amended 2012 ordinance because there was a sunset provision. That according to Assistant City Attorney Newt Tran, who explained now it's really up to just the police chief to handle nuisance matters, not local government. While the panel was told about the language situation and the original ordinance language going back to 2003, Attorney John Knutson, representing Riverside's owner, argued even that language is invalid.
There's an old saying in the law that free advice is always worth what you pay for it. My advice to this committee is that if you want to have a nuisance ordinance, that you decide what it is you want, and then you go ahead and go through the normal procedure and pass an ordinance. Because in our legal opinion, right now, there's no nuisance ordinance in the city of Racine.
Alderman Ray DeHaan indicated that the committee could only do so much and that the process has to work itself out.
I think you're missing the boat. We're not out to hang him or do anything to him. We're just out to receive and file this issue and work it out with the attorney. It'll come back to us eventually.
Okay.
And then you may be very right on what you're telling us. And I don't have a problem with that. But it's something that this committee has no power to do.
The receive and file recommendation on the nuisance declaration, it's going back to the council now. Whether the city does have a legal nuisance property ordinance, still a question mark. After a year of no bicycle racing at Kenosha's historic velodrome, the refurbished, now repaired facility in Washington Park is on the verge of being reopened. The Board of Parks Commissioner is recommending the City Council approve the final payment of $25,000 to the contractor as part of a settlement agreement. Sealing and striping the track can wait, according to Alderman Jack Rose, who says right now the top priority, getting that track open.
It's safe, it's ready to ride, it's in a public park. And when we get to the point and we have to do the maintenance, the sealant, the stripe painting, well, then we'll have to shut it down.
Now, even though it's been redone, Kenosha still has the longest tenured working velodrome in the country, one of only about two dozen remaining, with this year marking its 90th birthday. Four vehicles stolen early this morning off the property of Mannheim Milwaukee Auto Auction west of the interstate on 27th Street in the Racine County town of Raymond. One found crashed nearby, another in an accident off 27th about a mile away toward Milwaukee. The vehicle that crashed by 7 Mile in the West Frontage Road, a black Jaguar, according to a news release, still running when a sheriff's deputy arrived. The other vehicle, a white Cadillac SUV, found off the pavement at 8 Mile in the West Frontage Road. No driver located there either. A search was conducted in the area, a Mount Pleasant canine involved, trying to find a man observed walking away from the Jaguar, but was not found. The other two stolen cars reportedly disappeared, heading north toward Milwaukee. Kenosha's Parks Commission this week approved placement of a sign that outlines the hours of operation and the rules for the Dream Playground at Petsky Park. Tammy Conforti, the driving force behind the playground project, said a lot of people really don't know the rules regarding that, and there have been lots of questions raised. Alderman Scott Gordon says the advisory sign has been needed for quite some time.
Expedite the process of getting this sign built. There's money in the fund that the people of the city paid and donated for to pay for that sign. There's a vendor in town that's doing the signage right now for the donor board that I'm sure can make a beautiful sign in a very short period of time.
Alderman Jan Makowski suggested that the sign would back up citizens telling kids about the proper use of that facility.
This kind of gives an adult permission to tell somebody else's kid, hey, you really shouldn't do that. There's a sign. You're not supposed to do that. So I think even though it probably won't get rid of all the bad behavior, it will get rid of a lot of it.
The The Parks Commission also told by staffers more signage referenced the park and the playground site will also be posted. A resolution that calls on the state legislature to pass bills stopping big retailers from shifting their property tax burden onto homeowners unanimously approved this week by the Mount Pleasant Village Board. It targets the big retailers seeking to have their buildings assessed as if they were empty, and the retailers that routinely challenge the assessments of their buildings. Mount Pleasant's assessor Dan McHugh says big retailer challenges in the village have pushed $100,000 in taxes onto homeowners for the past few years. He urged the trustees to add the village's name to the list of communities that are seeking to make a change.
Time is of the essence with the state budget starting now. I would ask that if all the trustees could sign this and we could send this on to our local elected officials in Madison to help support our case, that would be, the more people we have supporting this and getting on board with this, the better.
He said he's forwarded the same resolution as Sturtevant and Caledonia and Waterford. It's become an issue all across the country. Indiana's legislature voting for a change, Michigan lawmakers still considering it. One-time Kenosha County District Attorney Bob Jambois suing his former boss, Dane County DA Ismael Ozan, claiming there was a concerted office retaliation against him for challenging Ozan in last August primary election. Jambois highly critical of Ozan for the way he managed that office. And members of the Milwaukee Common Council, they want the federal government to release that report on the city's police department after a lawsuit was filed last week accusing the department of illegal stop and frisks that targeted minorities. Federal officials have not yet said when that report may be released. Wisconsin coming off a year that saw bank profits decline. A report by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation says state banks earned nearly $1.1 billion last year, but that was about 7% less than the previous year. Individually, Green Bay-based Associated Bank led the way at $225 million in earnings. Third on the list, Racine-based Johnson Bank, $30 million in profit, also reporting $4.5 billion in assets. A Class B liquor license being supported by Racine's Public Safety and Licensing Committee for what will become the Butcher & Barrel Gastro Pub at 306th Street downtown. Connie Lapari, representing her daughter and son-in-law, who operate a successful restaurant out in San Jose, California, she indicated their future plans include a return to the Racine area.
On their many visits to Racine, you know, they say, you know, Racine can use some new things going on, maybe to attract, you know, more business. So they looked at this building, and they liked it, and they'd like to turn it into a gastro pub, patterned after the one in California.
Attorney John Belogic stated all the indications are that this new restaurant with maybe a different cuisine will be along the same high-class lines.
We're set to close on this property next week. All the money is already in my trust account for the purchase price. I'm wiring that to Landmark Title tomorrow. Landmark's working on the closing documents, so that's not an issue at all. We have everything lined up. We're just asking for the license to, you know, open the business.
And the opening of the Butcher & Barrel Gastro Pub on 6th Street downtown Racine, currently targeted for the end of May. It would serve the lunch and dinner crowds. Menominee Falls-based Continental Properties looking to create 240 apartments in an upscale development on South 27th Street in Oak Creek. It would be built on 24 acres near the Northwestern Mutual campus and the future site of the Oak Creek IKEA store. Preliminary plans reviewed by the City Plan Commission show a pair of two-story apartment buildings pretty similar to the development model that Continental either has built or is building in several other states, called Springs, one of which is the first in Wisconsin now going up west of the interstate in Kenosha. Almost 7 acres of wetlands on the southern portion of the property would remain undeveloped. State and federal governments need to provide the adequate level of Medicare and Medicaid reimbursements, according to a resolution okayed last night by the Racine County Board. Supervisor Bob Miller said that during the Ridgewood Care Center discussions, it was revealed that the biggest stressor on most nursing care facilities is the shortfall in those reimbursements versus the actual cost of care.
The governor of the state of Wisconsin has proposed an increase in these very funds in his budget. This week and today in Washington, D.C., representatives of the National Association of Counties, including a lot of elected officials, are speaking to Congress about this very point, so it's quite timely.
Miller noting that several other Wisconsin counties either have approved or are considering similar resolutions. And Southeast Wisconsinites may get to join others around the state in eventually deciding if the Office of State Treasurer is still needed. Madison lawmakers set to vote next week on a proposal that would eliminate the office. It would still need a referendum. That could be as early as April of next year. Our AccuWeather forecast is coming up. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.